First of all, thank you very much to our contact man, mayor here. You know, I'm pretty sure that probably no one turns him down. Am I right? You know, because he does it in a very, not only respectful, but in a very endearing, I think is the right word, way. And, you know, he clearly is really, really dedicated. So I admire that very much. And, you know, I don't know how many people were here last year. It's a different group, same group. Well, mayor's the same. But either way, it really is a very impressive thing. You know, numbers are amazing, but especially the quality and everything that Wissbacher just said about, you know, the commitment, you know, to learn Biyun in the summer. It's, you know, the shame of the Sephardim, so it's really very special. Of course, for me, the added element, you know, is I get to see Rav Nussbacher in the summer, and it's always a pleasure to see him all seasons of the year, or any season of the year. A very special Talmud whose accomplishments are a source of great nachas for me. So I'm glad that it's a mutual admiration, and really one of the special Talmidim that I've been fortunate to have. I've had quite a few, but each one is separate and each one is unique. And he's really, you know, one of the you know, ones who have such tremendous impact and whose character and who just continues to make an amazing contribution. So for various reasons, I'm very happy to be here. It's not a tirchah at all, the truth is. I mean, it's a little bit scheduled, but it's really my pleasure to be here. Okay, so having said that, we know I need to finish on time. So the topic, as I said, learning the choice for the limud was the end of the second parak of Sukkah. I think that's an excellent choice. Some years back, when you know the Ari Yeshiva learned Masechet Sukkah a couple of years ago, but I rebelled at that point and substituted Masechet Shavuos, you know, instead. Ah. There we have Talmidim in the crowd. Right, that was a good choice, right? Okay, happy to hear that. But the one time I did teach Masechet Sukkah when the yeshiva learned it before, I learned it one other time before that in my tenure as a Rebbe there, the yeshiva started, I think, from the beginning, as I recall, first parak. This is not your time probably, right? But I actually started from the middle of the second parak. Exactly, you started from Chafei, right? Yeah, just now. So that was actually my choice. So I don't know if that's, you know, I'll say Baruch Shekivanti in advance. But I think it's a great limud. And what I wanted to do is just, you know, provide, I'm sure you've already been discussing some of these questions, but to provide some perspective on, you know, what we find in the second parak in the middle, and on the phenomenon, really, of why it is that the Masechta doesn't start there and really starts at the beginning. In other words, the rest of the yeshiva at the time started from that base, which is often a reasonable place to start. And, like, why is it that I felt, and that Rav Nussbacher obviously felt as well, I want to, you know, he might have a different answer, but that really one should begin with Daf Kopeh. Is it, you know, in the summer, you could say, because, you know, time is short, and you want to accomplish, you know, an integrated unit, you know, but that's not a good excuse probably for the year. So, like, what was the charm of starting in the middle? And if there is some charm to that, then how come the Masada HaMishnah, you know, why did he start in the beginning? Ah, so that's really the question that I want to answer. Hopefully it'll touch on some substantive things, you know, along the way. So let me just begin with the following. As we know, all the Moadim are anchored in Parshas Emor. That's where the Torah delineates all the details. It's always very critical to study the formulations in Torah Shebichtav, wherever they appear, but especially when it comes to the Moadim in Parshas Emor, really to put them under like a magnifying glass. So it's interesting that generally speaking, when the Torah speaks about the holiday of Sukkot, that it de-emphasizes, or by omission, it implies a de-emphasis of the mitzvah of yeshiva, the Sukkah. Again, the Torah speaks about Sukkot twice, actually, in Parshas Emor. That's a story in its own right. The first time, of course, is within, and it's the end of the cycle of the Moedim. So, Torah, you know, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Lamed, beginning from Lamed Gimel. Vaydabar Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber Bnei Yisrael Lemor, Bechamisha Sayom Lachodesh Hashvii Hazeh, right, Chag Hasukos, Shivas Yamim LaHashem. Vayom Arishon Mikra Kodesh, Kobalach Tzavon Alonsasu, Shivas Yamim Takrivu, Isha LaHashem, Vayom Hashmini Mikra Kodesh, Yalachem, at Shmini Atzeres, Vikrav Demishal Hashem, Atzeresi, Kobalach Savoda Losasu. And then the Torah basically, this is the last in the order, the sequence, which begins with the introduction of Shabbos and then transitions into Yom Yudalit, which is the day of Korban Pesach, and Chag HaMatzos. So obviously, the you know, the end of that whole cycle is Chag HaSukkos. So then Elu Moed Hashem, Asher Tikra Osam Mikrai Kodesh, etc. Though it's absent in the Torah's initial presentation of this holiday, is anything about what the active verb, you know, what do you do on this holiday? All the Torah says is that it is Chag HaSukkos. And that is surely strange. Again, it's not completely without precedent, especially when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. The Torah also is very vague and avoids a verb. It's a day of Zichron Trua. I'm not going to get into that right now. But there are probably good reasons. I mean, there are always good reasons for all of these things. They're all, you know, incredibly divinely intentional. You can't get more significant than that. But again, when it comes to Sukkot, we would have expected what we do encounter in the parallel to Sukkot, and that, of course, is Chag HaMatzos, Tesvav, Tesvav, right? The Sukkot right in the beginning of the Yor Livud, meaning in the, you know, towards the end of the second parak of, you know, the Sukkot. This Tesvav, 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 Tesvav dictates all sorts of things, some explicit in the Gemara, some expanded upon by the Rishonim, and by the Poskim, and by Minhagim. So we know that Chag HaSukkos and Chag HaMatzos are very, very connected, right? They're both multi-day holidays. They both have Chol HaMoed, you know, periods, etc. When it comes to Matzos, the Torah is very explicit about what it is that we do. We eat matzah on Chag HaMatzos. But, you know, when it comes to Sukkos, for some reason, the Torah is pretty quiet about it. And the question is, again, b'chamisha asayom l'chodesh hazeh, chag ha-matzos l'ashem, shivas yamim matzos tochelu. Where's the equivalent of the shivas yamim matzos tochelu in Sukkos that we have in Matzah? If you look in Parshas Pinchas, right, which we just read a few weeks ago, b'midbar kaftes yud beis, let's see if I can find it here, the Torah again is pretty quiet. B'chamisha asayom l'chodesh hashvii mikra kodesh yelachem, kol melachos avoda lo sasu. Here we don't even have the name Sukkos, it's simply b'chagosim chag l'ashem shivas yam. And he craved them, then you have the akravos, the karban musaf, etc. If you look at Dvarim, right, so this is Dvarim tesvav yubes, this is Parshas Re'e, right, the parsha of the regalim. Second, Tesvav, and pasuk. What did I say? Yud beis. So, Tesvav Shazayin Yud beis. So again, the Torah just has, you know, a rendition of it has Sukkos. Tells you what you do on Sukkos. Sheshes Yomim Tocha Matzos, Be'yom HaShvi'a Tzeres Hashem Elokecha. Then you have Sfiros HaOmer, then you have Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaShavuos Tzum Challenge. Then you have Chag HaSukkos, Tasa Lecha, Shivas Yom. Va'aspecha Migaroncha, Umi'ikvecha, V'samachna B'chagecha. Nothing about, it's called Chag HaSukkos, but nothing about Yeshiva B'Sukkah. The only time we have the reference to Yeshiva B'Sukkah actually is in the second rendition of Parshas Emor, when the Torah finishes summing up, right, all of the, these are all the Moedim, these are all the, you know, additional karbanos that you have to bring in Parshas Emor. So after all of that, I left you off at, you know, wherever that was. So after all of that, Ishel Hashem, all the various things. So then the Torah says, here, 1 second. A new parsha. Ach b'chamisha seyom l'chodesh hashvi. This is pasuk lamedtes. Everything is over, and then you have another ach, which introduces a second parsha. This is the only time that the Torah speaks about the dalet minim. B'chamisha seyom l'chodesh hashvi. Ba'os b'chem b'stvuas haaretz tavchogu tzchag Hashem shivas yamim b'yom rishon shabbason b'yom shmini shabbason. V'lkachnu b'chem b'yom rishon priyetz adar kapos tmarim b'anav etz avos. Arbe nachal usmachtem b'fnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim. The Chagose Mosul Chag Hashem Shiva Shom Bashana Chukas Alom Darosefem Bechogesh Hashvi Tachogu Oso. And then finally, Basukos. This is Pasuk Membeis. Basukos Teishvu Shiva Shomim Kol Hazrach BiYisrael Yeshvu Basukos Leman Yedu Darosefem KeBasukos Hashavtis Bnei Yisrael Baltzi Oso Meretz Mitzrayim Ani Hashem Alokeichem. And then that's the second ending. Vaydaber Moshe Smoadei Hashem. El Bnei Yisrael. So really, the final two psukim in the second rendition of Sukkot finally formulate what it is that you're supposed to be doing, you know, with the sukkah on this chag. Basukos teishu shivas yamim, right? And it's also followed, fascinating, by a pasuk which is very singular in the Moadim, and that is a focus on the purpose of it all. Right, Leman Yedu Dorosechem doesn't have pretty much any analog in the Chagim. You have a certain additional consciousness or awareness, you know, about what this is about. Leman Yedu Dorosechem Ki Basukos Oshavti Es Bnei Yisrael Botzi Osam Eretz Mitzrayim Ani Hashem Lokechem. Again, on the focus on the Chavtish Sukkos, we'll get to in just a second. And Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's the final words of Parshas Hamoah. The truth is, as it's well known, we'll get back to this. Some of the Mefarshim think that Leman Yedu Doroseichem generates an additional requirement of Kavana when it comes to this holiday. Rabbi Hananel already alludes to this in the very beginning of the Masechta. When he talks about Sukkah Gaboa Mi'esrin, and the fact that if you're not fully aware that you're in the Sukkah, you can lose sight of that because it's so far away, and doesn't catch your eye, that there's something missing, there's a deficiency, there's a chisaron in Leman Yedu Doroseichem Kibasukos Hashavtis Bnei Yisrael Tzios Amaretz Mitzrayim. This is made much more famous, not so many people know this from Rabbi Hananel, but the Bach, in the very introduction to the Hilchos Sukkah, elaborates this point and goes back and forth. It seems to suggest that maybe it affects the issue of Mitzvos Trichos Kavana. Maybe not. It might be a different kind of Kavana. Is it that even if you hold Mitzvah saying Tzrichos Kavana, you need Kavana here? And then he talks about the equivalent of Leman Yedu, which also may apply to Tzvillin. But in terms of the Moadim, it's certainly limited. Maybe Tzitzis, maybe Tzvillin, maybe Sukkah. So even if you hold Mitzvah generally ain't Tzrichos Kavana, you need Kavana, Davka, and Sukkah. Or it's nothing to do with Mitzvah Tzrichos Kavana. Tzrichos Kavana is a question of having Kavana, Lotse Sidei Chavascha, right? But to here, it's a different kind of a kavana, maybe. It's just about the cognizance, the awareness of why. It's almost like a tamia mitzvos. You have to be aware of what you're doing. Not so much you have to be intent on fulfilling the obligation when you're doing it. So that's a kind of a, if you look at the Bach, there's something going on there about this question. And the Taz, who was the son-in-law of the Bach, also strongly believes, in this idea. Indeed, he connects it, I don't think we'll have time to get back to this later, to, the Ptura of Mitzta'er, which we'll get back to. Mitzta'er is Patur Minasukah. It's a very rare kind of a Ptur. Typically, we know that Cholos, Mesukan is Patur from things. Cholos She'im Bo Sakana is not usually Patur from Doraisa obligations. There's no problem of Mirul Akum Shvus, and there are other kulas, but usually not in Doraisas. But The special din in Sukkah, as we know, the debate among the Rishonim to explain why, and Achronim, that Mitzta'er is Patur. Again, already on Daf Chafei, you have this this concept, and Chol Shem Bal Sakana is a Patur, as we know, not only the individual, but who Mishamshav, that's even escalated beyond Mitzta'er. So why is that? So the Bali Tosas say about Mitzta'er, at least, because his din of Teshvu came to Duru. And typically, you know, when people are uncomfortable, you know, they're going to, you know, leave, especially if they're uncomfortable because of an environment. So they'll exit that environment and find one which is more conducive to their, you know, to their good health or to their enjoyment. So Teshvu came to do, that's a special halacha. But the Taz argues, actually, that that's not the pshat. The real pshat is that there's a din of l'man yeinu dorasecha. And therefore, that requires a certain level of focus and concentration. And if you're a mitzayer, you can't, you know, provide that. It's a fascinating task. He tries to explain, you know, the Gemara's Havamina, the Gemara Havamina, again, in the sections that you're learning, this is all connected to those sections, that an Ovel, right, would be Patur, you know, Minasukka. And typically, we task in that he boil a mace of daite, that he, you know, he should overcome his avails and he's not potter. Although there are some echoes of, you know, circumstances where he still might be potter. But why would an avel, why would there be a havamina, you know, that an avel would be potter? So the word havamina is a kind of mitzayer, right? A psychological mitzayer. And the Gemara says, no, kamashmal. So the, again, part of the story is that the Taz explains that the person is preoccupied. This is particularly an interesting question because well, the Rosh has this discussion as well. That is that, you know, if you're talking about mitzayer because of an environmental factor, like, you know, you're outside and there are mosquitoes, you're outside and it's cold, you know, you're outside and you're fearful, you know, for your security. So, you know, it's understandable that, you know, that might be, or these might constitute mitzayer. Because when you go inside, you've solved the problem. So the discrepancy between where you're supposed to be and you know, and what that, you know, imposes upon you, you know, that's the mitzvah. The difficulty is, like, what did the Gemara have in mind when it was talking about avelus, right? Because you're an avel outside and you're an avel inside. So, like, what's the difference? So this is a question that the Rosh relates to when he discusses the question of, you know, being, you know, in a sociable environment or not. You know, with people or alone. Okay. So the Taz doesn't like that rush particularly either. Taz says, what do you mean that you're more in pain when you have to be with other people? What's the yisod of Nichum Avelin? Right? If the presence of other people and a little bit of you know, a smidgen of sociability is a problem, so, you know, why would we, you know, further the pain of the Abel, you know, by demanding that people, you know, visit them. So the truth is, I think that's an very interesting exchange. And we're not going to go to Avelis right now, but I think that psychologically there are two things that are true at the same time, and that is, number one, sometimes being in a social situation is adds on a certain level more pain for the Abel. On the other hand, it doesn't mean it isn't therapeutic for him or good for him or part of a process which is necessary to, you know, to reconnect him to, you know, to the world after the devastating loss and the sense of disconnection from human life. That is an issue. You know, that's a separate, that's an Avelis comment, and that's, I think it's true, it's very important. And I think it is true, psychologically and especially halachically, psychologically. But that's aside. But the Taz didn't like that. The Taz said, I just don't understand what the Havamina was, that there's Mitzdayer. I don't understand the sociability idea because of Nichum Avelin. So he said, no, the real pshat is that the Patur of Mitzdayer is not about the discrepancy between, you know, where you are and where you might be. It's really about Laman Yedu Dorosechem Kibbutzim Rizashav Tisbein Sovot Ziyasov Meretz Mitzrayim. Meaning you have to be able to muscle, just one second, you have to be able to muster a certain level of awareness and cognizance, you know, about being in the sukkah. So anyway, there's a whole, you know, literature about this, the Bat, the Ta, as I say earlier, the Rach. In my opinion, that is a critical, you know, theme. You know, we have to explain, like, what is it about the Sukkah that requires this, whatever it is, whether it expresses itself in, you know, in Tzrichas Kavana, you know, in a more classical way, or in a different kind of a Kavana. And it really, especially if it permeates also things like Mitzvah and maybe other things, obviously it's a really central thing. So just interesting to note that this is the last word of, you know, this pasuk, L'manyeinu dorosechem from the Sukkah Hashem, Neisov Hatziyasem Meretz Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem Elokechem, that's the final word on Sukkot, and that's the final word on all of the Moed. That's not a small thing. But what is that? Is that related to what came before, where the Torah finally tells us, "Besukos teishu shivat shamim," after telling you it's a chag of Sukkos, you know, and so on and so forth. So I'll try to explain what I mean by all this in just a second. But this seems like a question.
Doesn't the Gemara reject this idea? Because wouldn't this just be Rabba Lishitoso? That the man Yedu is the required Yedia, and then the Gemara on Beis Amud Beis says that Yedia Ledoros, and that it's not necessarily a chiyuv to have.
It could be. It depends how you, I'm saying that. So there are Beinu Chananels on that Gemara. And you could say that the Gemara rejects it, or you could say that the Gemara doesn't reject it, the Gemara just moderates it. Meaning that it's not going to be possible for that reason, you know, because it doesn't have that kind of clout. But that it's the echo of the idea is certainly in the Habib, you know, the Gemara as a Rebbe Chanan would understand it. And what I'm trying to show is that for the Bach and for the Taz, possibly for others, you know, it kind of gets, it resonates again and rehabilitates. But it's a good book. Okay. So anyways, this is the question. Why did Torah Shabbat Tzav, in the initial presentation in Emor, again in Bamidbar, in Pinchas, again in Re'eh, why did it ignore the Ma'isa Mitzvah? Why did it do that? And this contrast, I say, to Chag HaMatzos, which is a contrast to keep in mind in general, or a comparison and a contrast to keep in mind, is something which accentuates or sharpens the question. Okay. Second point, very quickly, and that is what really is Basukos Teishvu Shabbat Shabbat? What is Yeshiva Basukos mean? So let's just highlight it very quickly with respect to the bracha. Right? You make a bracha on Yeshiva Basukos, as we know. When do you make that bracha? And what constitutes over lasiyasan in the making of that bracha? Again, I'm going to touch on a lot of things, each of which requires its own treatment, and I'm sure that's what's happening here with this very special group and your special rebbe. But I'm just going to go in and out of some of these things, just to try to provide kind of a bigger, you know, picture to connect some of them. So, what requires a bracha in Yeshiva Basukos, and what is over lasiyasan? So, very specifically. Oh, do we have Marmakomo? Did you print out the... everyone take your copy. Because you need your copy. Unless you... No, that's an extra one? Okay, great. So, do I have here the Rambam and the Raman? I think I do, right? That's an interesting debate between the Rambam and the Raman and, you know, the Balei Tosfos. Regarding this issue, do I have updates here, the Rambam? I think I put it in, or did I not? Oh, I guess I did. I should have said it. We have Rambam? What? The end of five. The end of five. Above Yud Aleph. Do I have above base? Oh, okay. I should have put it above base.
To the US as well.
Yeah, well, the famous discussion of Rambam and the Raman, right? Ooh. That's a new one. How does this even work?
Doesn't
like it. I mean, they do. It has some, all the relevant. Okay. So the Rambam says that here in Halachi Beis, Kolzman sheikonis neishav basukah kol shiva mevarach kodem sheyeshav asheker nishanu b'tosav tzivanu leishav basukah. So number one, the Rambam says, whenever you enter the sukkah, right, to sit there, right, you make a bracha kodem sheyeshav. There are 2 points in the Rambam. Number one is that any activity, anytime you sit, so you go to sit in the sukkah, it sounds like you make a bracha. And then you should make the bracha over lasiyasa of the yeshiva, the sukkah. And then he adds, because this becomes a big question, ubelele yom tafurishon mevarech ala sukkah, right? The achakach mevarech ala zman, umesader kol abrachos, right? Alakos. Nimsa, mekadesh me'umad, apparently the Rambam didn't know he's making it standing up. But on the night, the first night of Sukkot, he insisted that you should make Kiddush standing up. Umavarech leisha basukah, then you make a leisha basukah, then v'yoshev, right, that's a shetaso, because he thinks the yeshiva is to be taken, Sukkot's teshu, the word yeshiva is to be taken literally, right, v'achakach mevarech alazman. Right, v'kazeh hayaminig rabosai, rabbi misorad, right, l'kadesh me'umad b'marishon shokag ha-sukos, okay, this is great. They have a mishpat, but how do they cut out the rhyme of it? Oh my goodness. Right? They should just put it in the rhyme of it too. But anyways, we'll write a letter to the for the editor. The Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says the language of Leshet Basuka should not be taken literally. It doesn't mean sitting down, it means ikva. Right, we find in Tanakh sometimes, you know, that the word leshe doesn't mean literally to be seated. It means to spend time in, or just, you know, to hang around, to linger, etc. So the Ravid is of the opinion that, that leshe basukah over lasiyasim doesn't require that you be standing. Moreover, the Ravid says, the ikar way of doing yeshiva basukah, this is consistent with the view also of Rabbeinu Tam, is through achila. Okay? This is a major debate. When do you make a bracha? Let's say you go to the sukkah and you're going to sit around in the sukkah. You're going to chat with your friends. You're going to learn. You're going to whatever it is that you're going to do in the sukkah. But you're not going to eat a meal. Right? Especially not a significant meal with hamotzi or possibly mezonos. Right? Or let's say you're going to eat a light meal, a shahako kind of a meal, or whatever, or eggs, right? So according to, this is the psak also in the Shulchan Aruch, I think I have this here somewhere, yeah, number 7. Again, I don't know why I neglected Perek Bava Bachi Yudbeis, so that was a mistake. But, Noagu She'em Avokan Al Asuka, El Deshas Achila, Ba'achi Noah. This is based on the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Again, some of the chorus are on the page here, probably get to inside, but you can look at them later. Oh. So there's a debate. Let me just take a step back for a second and just explain what bothers me here. We're talking about like a major mitzvah of the Torah, right? Basukas teishu shivas yam. There's a machlokas, rishonim. On such a core, basic question, you know, what yeshiva basukah is, when you require a bracha, and when to make the bracha. That's a very rare argument, that there should be an argument about such a basic core issue. We do have, you know, something like it, and in Ocharan, it triggered a lot of discussion. That is, again, shofar, right? There's a debate about what constitutes a true, right? Ginuchei Gonech, Yalil, the combination of Ginuchei Gonech, Yalil, you know, the Shivachas, Mishnei Neshimos, right? So, What troubled some of the Rishonim was, like, you know, haven't we been doing this for a bunch of centuries? Like, we really don't know exactly what a trua is? How did that even happen? How could that happen? Anyways, there are different answers to that question. But this is kind of a parallel, but it's also very, very strange. Okay? What does the Torah mean, you know, in this verb? When it says Vasukos Teshu Shivasyamit, is it achila? Is it spending time in a sukkah? Halacha, again, most people pass it like the Shulchan Aruch and say you were require a chila. And then the question is, what constitutes a chila? You know, let's say, again, we know, pas for sure, and mizonos. What about your, focusing a meal? You're making a meal, on eitz or on a shahakol, etc. Would that constitute a suda, like suda in hilchos brachos and in ketzin bevarkin terms? Like, what is this exactly? And I'm not going to read right now because it takes too long. But the fascinating exchange, with the Levush is involved in this, and the Magen Avraham, and the Taz, in a bunch of really interesting cases. For example, let's say you go out to Sukkah and you eat two meals in a row, and you wash for both. Right? So you eat, right? You bench, and then you're ready for more. You wash again, right? And you eat again, and you bench again. Do you have to make a separate leishah b'sukkah for the second meal? Right? That's one question. And let's say you have a tainus on sukkah. That can usually not happen. Let's say it's tainus kalov or something like that, which overrides it. Or you're under doctor's orders and you have some medical issue and you're not allowed to eat. Okay? So under those conditions, but you want to hang out in the sukkah all day, right? Does that change the equation with respect to the bracha? Can you make a bracha even without eating? Okay? These are, in a way, two opposite cases, right? I'm talking right now within the worldview of the Ravid and Rabbeinu Tam, who think that yeshiva besukkah means mostly achil. Right? So if you have achila achar achila, right? If achila is the maisa yeshiva of sukkah, you should make two separate leishah besukkahs. And if you're not eating, it doesn't really matter why you're not eating, right? The reality is that you're not eating. So even if there's a tightness or some medical reason and you're hanging out in the sukkah all day long, if the Hagdara of yeshiva, of teshu, means achila, one would think, then you wouldn't make a bracha that entire day. So what is going on? The answer is that even within the worldview of Rabbeinu Tam, Raivin, etc., what they really mean, what they seem to be saying, is not they don't think that the word leshe basuka or basukos teshu means teshu hainu achila. What they really mean is you have to find a way. What is Ikar Yeshiva? They want to objectify, right, your presence. And eating is a very prominent, especially on a Yom Tov, and the Chol HaMoed even, and this is actually the Chol HaMoed of Sukkot, so that's another topic, is a little more Moed-y, if you can say it that way, than even the Chol HaMoed of Pesach. So, eating is very prominent. So, kavu, ikar, yeshiva, al ha'ocha. But if it isn't the objective hagdara of yeshiva, it's just a way of finding, of escalating the prominence of your presence or staying in the sukkah, so then these become really interesting questions. Namely, if technically you have two different meals, ad kadei kach, that you have two motzis and two berachos hamazons, but nonetheless, is that two different yeshivas basukkah? That's an open question. That's a debate between the Magen Avraham and the Taz. And by the same token, if you don't have the ability, objectively, for health reasons, for halachic reasons, a tainus kalov, today it's not possible for you to express ikva or yeshiva, besukkah, through achila. So maybe for you, today, there's another way. Meaning, even according to, just to take a step back, according to the Rambam, anything you do in the sukkah triggers a bracha. And that's also Psaka the Gra, in the world of brisk, they pask in that way as well. But what I'm saying is, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, there seems to be a separate debate, and that is how technically necessary is achila, l'kula, and l'chol. So these are really interesting questions, but the phenomenon of not knowing exactly what constitutes the verb or the maisa mitzvah of sukkah is something to consider, highlighted by these makloks. Moreover, this idea, this kind of middle shita, which I'm suggesting, namely, that it's achila, but not really achila, it's achila b'toras you know, Ikar Yeshiva, and therefore it's more flexible. Like, what does that really mean? Like, Bimadal Shah. So these are things to think about in terms of both in terms of Overla Siyasa, the Rambam and the Raita discussion, as well as in terms of triggering a bracha itself. And what exactly is this? The phenomenon of Shena Basukah is something else to point to. Again, typically, a Maisa Mitzvah, right, requires, you know, is a measurable act. Achila can be a measurable act. But Shena Basukah, there's evidence that Shena Basukah is actually more prominent even than Achila Basukah. This too is a end of second parak topic. As we know, you can eat Achila Saroi Chutz Asukah, but there's no Shena, you know, Chutz Asukah, Achila Maron. And the question is that because technically and objectively there's no such thing as Shena Roy, right? So it's just a technicality. I mean, Luya Tsuya there was. No, there would be no requirement of the sukkah. Or is this also an indication that the role of Shena is different? Well, just to put it in a different way, this is Sitzim Gachokas or Bishonim, Rosh and others discuss this question. Or to put it in a slightly different question for formulation, it's curious to note that when the Gemara characterizes Mitztayer, the examples that it brings are all have to do with Shena. And the Poskim, Rambam, Shmonarach, when they bring it, they typically also, they're quoting for these cases of the Gemara, they bring it as well. And it's interesting to ask the question. It could just be that Lamaisa, you know, since there's an obligation of Shein Basukah, so, you know, the capacity to achieve, like, the state of Mitztayer is greater, because, you know, if you're going to sleep somewhere, so, you know, what annoys you when you're sitting and eating for 15 minutes or an hour, well, sometimes you go to these yontif meals and they can drag quite long. But okay, in the end of the day, it's still not the same as Shana. You know, what disturbs people's sleep, the amount of time, you know, that people sleep. So it could just be that, you know, there's greater sensitivity or etc. The Gemara is talking about, you know, Mitzar in those cases because, you know, in Achila, right, the shear is different and the threshold, therefore, is greater. Or is it possible, you know, that the role of Shena Basukah is such that that's what defines Mitzar, giving it a certain extra stature? The Ritva, of course, asks the question, why it is we don't make a bracha of Leisha Basukah for Shena, and he formulates it this way, given that it seems like it's a more demanding requirement of the Sukkah even than the Achila. And then there are some technical answers that he gives, others give, maybe it's a bia if you don't fall asleep, it might be a Racha Tala, you know, etc. But it seems, this is the Duyuk of the Rambam, that while there is an objective performance according to most poskim, has to do with achila or certain other measured actions, Shena Basukah is both more and less. It's different. But there's something about Shena Basukah that really is very defining to the Sukkah. And the question again is why? I mean, when we find that sleeping is an action in halacha, moreover, you know, people like to say, oh, you fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah b'kol gufcha, because your entire body is in the Sukkah. There's something to that also. But and especially that, especially if you sleep there, it's like your whole, you know, consciousness is there. So this dialectic, if you can call it that, between the Shena part and the Achila part. Again, if you look at the Rambam in Perek Vav, Halacha with Hey and Vav, you have different emphases, whether focus on the Achila or focus on the Shena. Raises another question. Again, and that's what is the nature of something? Okay. So I've so far just asked a bunch of questions. Let me circle back a little bit. We started with Torah Shabbat and the omission of the verb, the mitzvah, the ma'isa mitzvah of Yeshiva Basukah from there. That's certainly tamua, or it's something to point out, especially relative to. So then we point out that what we also have is the Ma'ayin de Rosechem, which gives great prominence to sort of cognizance of being in the Sukkah. And then we have this interesting phenomenon about a debate among the Rishonim and the Achronim as to what constitutes, you know, teshu that triggers a bracha, and how you accomplish overlasi asan, and then I just added the phenomenon of sleeping in the sukkah. But the truth is, everything I said about Torah Shabbat and its treatment is, in this particular case, mirrored in Torah Shabbal Peh as well. As I said before, if you start the Masechet at the beginning, right, what you're really focused on until the middle of the second parak, or towards the end of the second parak, really, if you go by the Dapim of the Gemara, is, until Chafei, certainly, is everything is about the Chafsa Shel Sukkah. Indeed, until you get to Chaf Ches Omid Beis in the Masechta, right, we have the Marko, we have it here as well in the sheets, you don't have a formulation at all about Yeshiva Besukkah. Again, it happens to parallel exactly, you know, what takes place in Torah Shabbat Sukkah. So, for example, look here on Chaf Ches Omid Beis. Right, we have that somewhere.
Page 2.
Yeah, on the top. So you have the Mishnah, right? Kol Shiva Sayamim Adamosas Ukasu Kamo Beso Arai. That's the first time that the Mishnah speaks about what you're supposed to do in the sukkah, the fact that you're supposed to be in the sukkah, as opposed to the structure of the sukkah, Chetzah Shel Sukkah. Okay? And then, even then, it's fascinating, the first thing we read about is the exception. Yardu Geshanim Me'eba Saibut Telefana. When do you evacuate the sukkah? Okay? Misha Chasra Mikvah Mashal Mashal Lamadam Gamal Evit Shabalim Zokos Rabo Shavach Lo Kitan Opam. Okay. Great Mishnah. So it's fascinating that finally the Mishnah gets to a point where it talks about the obligation to be in the sukkah, Osa Sukasa Kevo Beso Arai. It's also strange where you speak about, it doesn't say what you do in the sukkah specifically, right? What triggers the bracha, what would be the basis for the overlast? So it says, just make this your permanent rather than your, you know, peripheral residence during this period of time. That's the first thing that we encounter about yeshiva, the sukkah. And then we have the exception, Yardu Geshamim, when can you leave? You haven't even gotten in there practically, and they're giving you the conditions for leaving. And they call it the Emesai Mutar Lefanos, also strange. Let's say Lazov, you know, Latseis Min HaSukkah, to evacuate, like a military term, you know, to evacuate the Sukkah or from the Sukkah, as we'll discuss. Okay. Then the Gemara, remember this is Chaf Ches Omid Beis, right? The way the Masechta works is, right, the first two prakim are about sukkahs, about the sukkah, right? Starts on the base. When does that end? On Chaf Ches Omid Beis. Right, then you have the Lulav HaGazel, which is the Dalet Minim, you know, begins in the third parak. So until you reach from that base to Chaf Ches Omid Beis, out of basically Lamed, right, there's no formulation in the Gemara of Yeshiva Basoka. You finally have this Mishnah, and then you have the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? You finally get to it, like, ah, you've been thirsting, you know, to reach this point, and you're certainly going to whip out your, you know, magnifying glass now, because you want to hear what it's all about. Tanu Rabbanan, Kol Shiva Sayamim, Ono Moses Ukaso Kevo Beso Aroi. That's the mission. Ketzer. Ah, how do you do this? So what would you expect? You would expect the Gemara to tell you, you know, you have to eat in the sukkah, at least according to the Rabbeinu Tam of the Raivin, it should say that. According to the Rambam, it should say, you know, you have to be present in the sukkah. No. Hoyelo kelim na'im. Wow, the first thing the Gemara tells you after all that weight is take the, you know, your aesthetically beautiful, you know, kelim, right, and bring them to the sukkah. Matzot no'ot. If you have, like, you know, these wall hangings what do they call those things you put on the table? Tablecloths, yeah. Matzah no'ot, right? Malon, l'sukkah. Then finally, ochel v'shoso, matayel b'sukkah. You eat and you drink and you spend time in the Soga. Minoani Mili, the Tzad Rabbanan, Teshu Kein Totur. Kan Omru, Kol Shiva Sayon, Osan Adam Sukasa Kama, Beisaro, Keitzan. I just said that, that sounds like I published it twice. The Gemara says, Eini, Vahama Rabba, Mikro Masa, Bibital Lassa, the Tony Bar Mikal Lassa, the Gemara says, Okasha, the Mikro Sabi Yuni, the Zamachokas Rishon, which is which. Okay, not going to get into that. But the point I'm trying to make is that you finally get to Chav Chesed Beis, practically the very end of the Talmud's treatment of the Sukkah part of Sukkahs, and you get a formulation, and the first thing you hear about in the Gemara is about the environment, the aesthetic environment of the Sukkah. The truth is, all of this is echoed in the Rambam as well, and it's even more surprising in the Rambam, because, as we know, I like to make diukim for the order of the Mishnah, but I also am aware that, you know, the Mishnah, you know, had all sorts of agendas in terms of its, you know, organizational structure. Right? And sometimes it's mnemonic, and, you know, there can be various reasons, you know, for Rebbe's Sidur of the Mishnah. However, the Rambam, you know, intentionally created a structure which was organized and structured. Right? And, you know, he reformulated everything. Did the Rambam shy away from, you know, diverting from or deviating from the organization of the Mishnayos? The answer is an emphatic no. He did not. That's one of the great contributions of the Rambam, is that he reorganized everything. Why am I telling you this? So therefore, if, you know, whatever expectations we have of the Mishnayos and the Gemara, and I still have them, I think, you know, because it's certainly a possibility that there's something significant conceptually being conveyed by the order. It's possible. But when it comes to the Rambam, it's not only possible, it's, you know, highly likely and probable. So, you know, the expectation looking at the Rambam would be that whatever you, whatever the Pesukim do and whatever the Mishnayos and the Gemara do, you're going to get an anticipated or expected order of the Rambam. Now, typically, with some exceptions, but I think all the exceptions prove the rule, typically the Rambam focuses in the very beginning of his halachos on Maisa Mitzvah. There are some exceptions. And one of the most prominent exceptions is Sukkah. So the Rambam begins Hilchos Sukkah, right, in Perek Dalid, because he combines it with, you know, with Shofar. Right? So it's Shofar, Sukkah, Lula. So you have Perek Dalid, Perek Hei, Perek Vav. Those are all Sukkah. Then Perek Zayin and Perek Ches are Lulav. And the end of Perek Ches is both. It's Chagas Sukkahs also. Okay. But, so again, where would we expect there to be a formulation of the mitzvah of Basukkah Teshu Shivas Yamim, which the Torah begrudgingly finally presents us with in the second rendition in Emor? In the Rambam, you would expect in the Koteret, you would expect in Halacha Aleph, or somewhere in the beginning of Perek Aleph of the Sukkah, which is really Perek Dalet of the Sukkah. Instead, if you look through the Rambam, it's all about the Schach, and all about the Tfanos, all about the structure of the Sukkah, until you reach Perek Vav, right? Halacha, this I certainly have here, right? Halacha and Vav, which are two, I think it's Ein Vav. Alright? Yeah, this is on page 3. I'm sorry, Vav and Zayin. Kev Sadhi Mitzvah Yeshiva Basukkah. So again, the Rambam waited 2.5 prakim before he talks about the Mitzvah Yeshiva Basukkah. Kev Sadhi Mitzvah is exactly what the Mishnah did, the Gemara did, and kind of what the Pesukim did. Right? And then he quotes the Braisa from the Gemara. Obviously, he felt that it was, how do you express, that's the mitzvah, the mahut of the mitzvah is, right? How do you implement that? Everything the Rambam says in Ketzad is about the environment, the accoutrements, right, the surrounding atmosphere of the sukkah, which is exactly what the Braisa did. The Rambam obviously is very comfortable with it. Okay. Then he has, in the next halacha, right, Ochel Mishosim V'Yishenim, finally mentioned sleeping in the sukkah, right, Kol Shiva, Be'em Yom Be'em Alayla, Asur Lechol Suda Chutzasa. Finally, it's only in halacha Vav, right, that the Rambam, oh, it is Hainba, yeah, it's Hainba. So the only in halacha Vav that the Rambam really speaks about, technically, the details of the mitzvah of Yeshiva Besukkah. And the difference between Kevan Arai, Ochel Mishosim, that's why he has Yishenim Besukkah, Kozayin, Be'em Yom Be'em Alayla, Asur Lechol Suda Chutzasa. The whole halacha vav is pratim in yeshiva besukkah, how to implement yeshiva besukkah. But the first ketzad, right, going on the finally first formulation of kviyus besukkah in the Rambam, is about the environment of the sukkah. And then, I say, even more than the Gemara, because the Gemara, you can say, okay, the Gemara structures other goals. It's very strong. If you look at the Hagos Ashri, I mentioned that it's fascinating when the Mishnah finally does get around to speak about Yeshiva B'sukkah, right, the first thing it talks about is the exception. Right? Yeridas Geshav. But, and it talks about Pinui HaSukkah. It's fascinating. Look at that Gosha Shri on page 2. Right? He says, do I have the wrong thing here? Yeah. No. I think that's, okay. I guess when you do things quickly, sometimes mess it up. The, wait, no, I didn't take that. Let's say it's raining, right? So the sheer of rain is that it spoils your soup. Let's say you're not a soup drinker, or the soup hasn't yet reached the sukkah. The lotus kalkel, el shiyardu, shamim shenir, lefiyom and daito, sheruil is kalkel. Now, does it, the soup kilkel that's mechayev, or is it a shiur in the rain? So the Hagos Ashri says, a shear in the rain. Mefana kela viyotze. Okay, so that expression, mefana, of course, is the expression that the Mishnah uses, which I mentioned, it means to extricate yourself from the sukkah, right, to abandon the sukkah, to, you know. But what's fascinating about the Hagos Ashri is mefana kela viyotze. It sounds like the Hagos Ashri's idea was that Ketzad, what is Yeshiva B'sukkah? It's Kelim Na'im Matzahot Na'ot. And Yerida B'sukkah isn't just about leaving, it's about also evacuating those accoutrements. It's like partially dismantling the environment of the sukkah. And that's very strange. What is all this environmental focus about? That's when it comes to rain. We have an exact parallel phenomenon when it comes to terminating the holiday and the use of the sukkah. The Mishnah says in sukkah, here you have it on the same page, on page 2, right? The Mishnah, sukkah shiva ketzad. Also, it's just fascinating language. Again, I wouldn't make much of it, but it's just a comment and it's cumulative evidence. But the myth, again, sukkah shiva ketzad. So you would expect that there would be something positive about sitting in the sukkah all 7 days. Instead, what does the Mishnah say? Gomar milechol lo yater sukkos. It's an interesting pattern. Right? Just like the Mishnah in the second parable. Right? What is Shiva Basukha? Yoran Kishamim Mefana, which according to Kosa Shri is Mefana Kalim as well. Right? So now we're saying, oh, another one. You know, Sukha Shiva Ketzad? And again you get this negative, you know, Gomar Milachol Lo Yatir Asukaso Avo Mori Dasa Kalim, again the Kalim, Menamin Cholamalim B'nei Kvod Yom Tov Achron Sholcha. So what is Yeshiva Basukha? It's expressed by the ambivalent or complex way that we shut the sukkah down in the end of the chag. So you shouldn't take it down too early, right? Lo yatir sukkaso, but you can start evacuating some of the accoutrements, right? Some of the environmental aesthetic, contribution. You know, you can start doing that likrat, the end of the day, mipnei kvod yom tov achron shelcha, because in a way, right, this is necessary for, and it's also preparation for Shmini Atzeres. Wow. Rashi explained, first of all, why not? Why can't you just take down the whole sukkah? I mean, there are two things here. There's the language, which I just noted. There's the, again, focus on the kalim, which we wouldn't think much about if it wasn't for the previous brisa, and especially the Gosa Shmini. And also there's the halacha itself. Why can't you be matir sukkaso completely? Yeah.
According to the Gada Ashri, right?
Yeah.
So it continues and says that
Kashem shemefanu b'nei gashamim, kach mefanu b'nei ashrab, u'b'nei tushim.
So is that also like talking about the kelim, or is that
I don't know. I think probably if mefanim means that. I mean, this is of course a very, very big question, which I don't want to get into now. That's a whole different topic, which I'm sure you'll discuss a lot. And that is whether geshi ridas geshamim is the same as mitzayim. The truth is that in the Mishnayos, they're not. They're separate. In the Gemara, they're separate. In the Rambam, they're in different places. Right, in the Shulchan Aruch, they're different simanim. A lot of the Achronim in the Poskim thought they were the same. I mean, that Geshem is just a form of Mitzvah. In theory, they could be two different dinim, which makes your question more pertinent to you. In other words, the Shrab and the Yitushim are Mitzvah. So what you might say is when the... What would be the difference? Meaning, Geshabim could be something that, as we'll explain in just a minute when we get to the punchline, that undercuts the environment of the sukkah. Whereas mitzayir, if you're going to make the distinction, is a chisaron in the ability to be mekayim yeshiva basukkah properly.
Right.
So then, one of the nafkaminos might be, like, are you supposed to take in, can you take in the kalim? Because other things have to do with the katzashel sukkah, which I think your question is very good. Again, the language of pinui to me implies yes. And the fact that the Gosa Shri connects the two sounds like he thinks that they are connected. But I think if you ask me again, the Mishnayos, the Gemaras, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, my impression is that these are, and I don't want to speak about it, these are two different dinim, and this could be the Nafkamina. There could be other Nafkamina too. I mean, again, when it rains, you know, the Gemara says that, you go inside, so you're, you know, you have a free pass, if you will, for that whole tekufah. Let's say you're sleeping in the sukkah and it starts to rain and you go inside and then half an hour later it stops. You don't have to go outside again. Or you're eating a meal, you go inside because you can read the Sashamim, right? And then you, then it stops raining. You know, I'll get it to go out and finish the meal. Is that true for Mitzayim? Let's just say all of a sudden, you know, the mosquitoes were there and you left and now they left. Or, you know, it was a blast of heat or a blast of cold, and, you know, somebody goes out, so all of a sudden it's, you know, balmy out there with an M. And that's okay. I mean, there are a lot of issues, a lot of issues. So I think your question's on target. It sounds to me that mefane means that, you know, means pinui. That's what I was saying, but evacuate, meaning, you know, you're changing the environment as well. But it makes sense to be. Anyways, what was I saying? Yes, okay, fine. So we have this strange Mishnah, the fascinating Mishnah, the challenging Mishnah, about, you know, it's kind of dialectic of, you know, start taking in the kalim, but don't be mata the sukkah. Why can't you mata the sukkah? So Rashi says, Lo yater agadim shelo l'sosra. No kol hayom chavas al ishan l'shanim. Right, he's supposed to sleep there. He's supposed to learn there. V'ikale sudasa. And if it's you still, you made this, you know, you think it's your last meal in the sukkah. Right? Maybe you got hungry again. So ochale begabe. So Rashi gives a pragmatic explanation of why layater sukkaso, because you may need the sukkah. Okay, but if you knew 100%, or let's say you could always have access to your neighbor's sukkah for that last desperate, you know, meal, etc. In theory, that would be fine. But the Ran, next Mar Malkom, understands this to be a fundamental halacha. Benirali da'inu tama, ikimit omer achmana basukkah station, shivas yamim, tzorek shetelo sukkah kol shiva. You have to have a chetzah shel sukkah that you are connected with all 7 days. Right? And it's on the seifa, abel moridu kelim in amin cholamala mibnei kvod yom tov ha'achron shokhat, klomar, alfa bishetzor kol shiva lasso sukkah keva, sukkah so keva, hoyilo kelim na'im abatzot, na'ot, see, it's those, right? Roi shihu besukkah kol shiva, afilo hachi mibnei kvod yom tov ha'achron shokhat b'rashoyla rida. So the Ram says, fascinating. Ron says, let's say you're for sure not going to need, you're not going to step foot in the sukkah again, 100%. Right? No more shinuin, no more shena, no more, it's half an hour before the end of Chag, and you're booked, you know, they have you, whatever it is, they have you busy. You're not going to step foot in the sukkah again. Ron says, it doesn't matter, because there's a din of a sukkah station shivas yamim. You have to make it, you know, diras kappa. So you have to be mitzurah. There has to be a sukkah, chetzeshel sukkah, kol shivas yamim. The only thing is, if they called you on Rambam, you could start making a dent in the environment, but not to the point of actually dismantling the chetzeshel sukkah. And it's a chiddush that you can start taking in the matzot note and the kelim na'im. If it wasn't for kvod yom tov achron shochag, you wouldn't be able to do that either. That's an amazing idea. Because you need a chetzah shel sukkah, kol shiva. This same point is echoed in the discussion between the Rambam and the Rambam. So the Rambam here in Halacha Yud Aleph, this is on page 3, says, Goma milecho v'yom ha'shvi v'shachris l'yachr sukkaso, you don't dismantle the sukkah, Goma morid hu eskela v'u mefanda osam v'amin kol ma'ala, referring to the Pasuk at the Mishnah, right? So the Raimund says, Omer Avram, Eini yodea ba'uze, Ula yomar sh'im yitzroich liso v'suka v'shar yamim, right? Ein tzorich lifrotz ba el yom shmini, right? Sh'yita odam ba, sh'osa l'shem mitzvah, afo b'sh'eino, sh'eim l'shon umara, avo l'asecha moral ze. What bothered the Raimund is that you have, if you need to eat somewhere on Shmiyah Zeres, the only place that you can eat is in the sukkah. You invited, you know, your large family. They don't fit in the house, they only fit in the sukkah. So for Shmiyah Zeres, you're going to have to eat the sukkah, but you have to kind of dismantle it. Otherwise, it's a problem with Baltosif. So the Raimund says, then I understand. But it sounds like the Rambam thinks that, you know, not that you could, but that you must find a way to kind of close down or terminate the sukkah. What's that all about? So the Rabban said, in the name of Reb Chaim Yivalajin, you know, it's well known that the Gra used to make Havdalah on beer on Motzai Kagamatz. So they asked the Gra, the Reb Chaim Yivalajin, like some of the asked Reb Chaim Yivalajin, like what was the basis for that? Like, why did he insist on making Havdalah Motzai Pesach on Chametz, basically? So the Rav said that Reb Chaim, I haven't seen this out mentioned elsewhere, but he said Reb Chaim Yivalajin said it's based on this Rambam. It sounds in the Rambam like you have to close down the sukkah. Not that if you need a place, not like the Rambam says, if you need a place to eat on Shmini Atzeres, you have to make sure you're not in violation of Al Tos. Meaning, when you're engaged in a particular mitzvah, so of course we understand that means to be involved and immersed in the mitzvah, but it also means to terminate the mitzvah right, to do something to show the mitzvah is over. So the Gra made Abdullah unbeaten. But I always thought that maybe this is a special din in Shmini Atzeres. And for two reasons. Number one, because of Shmini Atzeres, to show the transition. I mean, it's not just a technical problem that happens to be a Maltosev. It's a transition from Chag HaSukkos to Atzeres. You know, Kosher Alay Prit Asken, everything goes along with it. That's a separate topic. It's the only time we have this phenomenon in Halacha, where you have a transition from one Chag to the other Chag, you know, in the normal calendar, nothing about Shabbos coincidences, you know, which is both the same and different. Moreover, I think it's related to the bigger picture which we're trying to project. And what is that at the end of the day? It seems clear, both from the presentation of Torah Shabbat and from Mishnayos and the Gemara, and from the Rambam, and from some of these other Mekorot, that really the din of Yeshiva Pesukha is just an expression of identifying with and immersing yourself in the Chafza Shel Sukkah. The Ikar din in Sukkah is to create a venue, to create a residence, right? That to make a Mokom Kavua outside your home. To trade your home for the Sukkah. Of course, if you don't do anything there, then it's not your home. But it's not like, you know, the mitzvah to eat matzah, or maybe even to blow shofar, or to eat, you know, to abstain from eating on Yom Kippur, or to bring a cloth. Those are ma'aseh mitzvahs. This is also ma'aseh mitzvah. But here, the ma'aseh mitzvah is a mechanism of involving yourself in a way of showing or demonstrating, right, that you, during this tkufa of a week, you don't live in your home, you live in the sun. So for that reason, the Torah, Afka, holds out and has only one reference to Yeshiva Pesukha. And when it does have that reference, it emphasizes L'man Yedu Dorosecha Ki Pesukha Soshavtis B'nei Sodom Tzio Somer B'Tzayim, which is halachically, according to many, consequential in terms of kind of Kabbana, in terms of Mitzdayer, maybe Mrs. Shrikas Kabbana, maybe other Kabbana, etc. As if to say, the Yeshiva Pesukha is just a mechanism, right, to appreciate the institution of Sukkah. And that is what the Mishnayos and the Gemara does as well. It takes 28 and a half dapim, or 27 and a half dapim, it started that base, out of like 29, till you finally get a formulation of Yeshiva Pesukha. And the same thing with the Rambam, even more significant. Not because the Rambam is more important than the Gemara, but because the Rambam is more organized than the Gemara. Right? And therefore, strange or unanticipated organizational Rambams are even more telling than strange, you know, seemingly disorganized Gemaras. Okay. So basically the point is, and when they finally get to it, what do they emphasize? Well, we think those are very peripheral things. But they're not really peripheral things, because if you want to demonstrate that you now live outside in the hut, or the booth, or the tabernacle, right? Not in your luxurious home, right? So what you do is, you take out the Kelim Na'im and Matzot, no? And then they tell you, of course, when you do, you read the Withers Geshamim, and the Rabban Shalom is, you know, it's Kiton Shamayim, so we also take it, you want to show, okay, fine, I don't deserve this this temporary headquarters. You bring in the Kelim. And when the Sukkot holiday is over, it's not just that you abstain from Yeshiva Besukha, because that wouldn't be enough, because the Yeshiva Besukha is just an expression of your immersion. That's one of the reasons that there can be a machlokas about such a basic core thing. How can there be a machlokas? Whether it's achila, or do we really mean achila, or is achila just an exemplar for, you know, for Ikar Yeshiva? You know, in Avalasiya, how can there be a machlokas about that? The answer is because everybody agrees that it's a din in Chag HaSukkos, and the teshuva is a mechanism of immersing and emphasizing and demonstrating that. So the question is, where do you draw the line? Oh, so when it's time to, when Sukkos is over, it's not enough to not sit in the Sukkah. You have to, according to the Rambam's understanding, and that's kind of, sounds like they're really the Mishnah, right? On the one hand, you can't close down the sukkah too soon, because even if you're not going to use it, the whole point is that for this tkufa, it's your alternative headquarters. At the same time, when it's over, because it's not enough not to sit in there. You have to somehow demonstrate that it's no longer your headquarters, meaning you have to address the chefza shel sukkah. So bringing in the kelim already, you know, mishum kavod yom tov, or according to the Rambam, figuring out some way to objectively render it unfit, it's not just to anticipate baltos. Because, okay, let's say you have a stately, you know, dining room that you can have all your guests for Shmini Atzeres. You don't have to violate baltosif. It's not siyama baltosif. But it's a different kind of a baltosif, maybe. I don't mean literally baltosif. Meaning part of what makes, for the same reason that every minute of sukkah, so you have to have a sukkah, even if you're surely not going to use it anymore towards the end. For that very same reason, you have to find a way to demonstratively terminate the sukkah. Oh. And that's why Shena is so important, etc. And the Zayin Yamim, there's all sorts of discussions in the Gemara, as you know, about sukkah being roy in the Shivas Yam. Right? And there's even a debate, Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, like how many meals you need in the sukkah, whether or not the sukkah is a 7-day integrated process, both in terms of brachos, or in terms of ra'ui. Let's say you have a sukkah that can't be used on Shabbos, or is flimsy and it's not going to last all 7 days. If the focus were on simply a chefza, which allows for the kiyum mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah, a lot of these things wouldn't make any sense, or they're just the costumes. But if the idea is that yeshiva besukkah is a mechanism of focusing on the chefza shel sukkah, right, then maybe, not, you know, mukhrach, but maybe it has to be a sukkah sheruya l'kol shivas hayamim, you know, physically and maybe even halachically. Maybe you have to eat a certain amount of the sukkah, right? Not each meal separate and distinct, because you want to show a certain critical mass that you're part of this. That's why mitzayir and all these things are so important as well. And that's why also the flexibility of what constitutes yeshiva b'sukkah is more flexible. For example, Misha says it's nice to be machmir, not to have any even a glass of water outside of the sukkah. And the Misha says, but then there were Amoraim, I'm sorry, there were Tanoim who didn't have that kapeda, and they did drink, and even more than that. So if you look at the Ran and other Rishonim, they say it's not chas v'shalom that Tana X, you know, was had more yiras shemayim than Tana Y. For him, and this is, I think, what the Rishonim was struggling to say, you know, there can be a certain level of flexible shiur in terms of what constitutes, you know, for individuals, demonstrating that this is your primary resident. If the halacha was, oh, do as many things in the sukkah, or do maisim in the sukkah, that's one thing. They say, oh, he's more machmir, he's less. But if the idea is to do things that establish that this is your new headquarters for 7 days, for some people a drink of water is a big deal. And for other people it's very casual. Like would somebody, there are people who wouldn't drink water in the street. You know? So for them, you know, where you drink your water also says something. Maybe it isn't mechuya, but it's a kiyum. It's a good chumrah. For other people, a drink of water is nothing. It's like, you know, breathing. So for them, it doesn't have that meaning. They're not less machmir. And that explains a lot of other things as well. But star also, there's a high threshold for what constitutes yeshiva besukkah, because it isn't just about doing X amount of activities in the sukkah, time-wise or quantitatively. It's really about, again, reflecting this change in headquarters. So for that reason, if you're unhappy there, like you're there, alapcha v'alchamaska, right, you know, it's very uncomfortable, it's not really your headquarters. You know, so that's a certain kula. So with this we can also understand very much, you know, a phenomenon which is very remarkable about sukkah, because we mentioned, what, I have five more minutes? Four? Okay, very quick. We're interfering with the food.
From my perspective,
yeah. I hear that, but you're just being kind, as you always are. Okay. And I did say I would finish early, and I totally did it. And as we discussed on the phone, I meant it. this is not. Right. I should keep trying. Okay. Line 6 here on page 3, you have a famous, very interesting discussion. Is there a mitzvah binyan sukkah, a building of sukkah? So typically, the building of the sukkah is nothing, one would think, right? It's just a means, it's a hesher for there being a sukkah that you can spend sukkahs in. Yet, the Shiltos, famously, says the Mekayim in Kol Beis Yisrael, the Mibna Metalalasa, this is on page 3, Valesha Bazayin Yamin, to build it and to live there. The building is also. There's a famous discussion of the Nitzim, this parish on the Shiltos, where he says that when the Torah implies that certain Hasherim have stature, and maybe by calling it Chagas Sukkos and so on, they imply that. So there's something called the Hechsher HaKaksuva or HaKasuv HaTorah, and he talks about Mitzvah Bo Yosef Mishlucho and a few other Nafkaminas. Very fascinating Nitzim. I personally don't buy it for the Shiltos, because we don't find this phenomenon in the Shiltos and other places. It sounds like the Shiltos thinks that there is a mitzvah binyan sukkah. And indeed, this is supported by the Mishnah in Masechet Shavuos, the next Marvakom, where the Mishnah talks about Nishba Levato Samitzvah. It says, Nishba Levato Samitzvah, Shalo Laso Sukkah. The guy swears he's not going to build a sukkah. Lo Lito Lulav, Lo Lamiyat Tfil. So Anachas Tfilin and Atilas Lulav are the Maisa Mitzvah. Right? But Lo Laso Sukkah, where does Laso Sukkah have anything to do with it? Similarly, the Gemara in Tzubis, right? Amalei Rav Kana l'dach damus priyas machov mitzvah. Amalei nichali diavid mitzvah. Why? So the guy says, I don't want to do a mitzvah. Amalei tznina b'medra. My word b'mitzvah. So sase. Mitzvah say kagon sh'omrim lo ase suka v'en yose lula v'en yose. Here it says lula v'en yose. It doesn't say what. It says ase suka. It doesn't say ase lula, but it could mean lito lula, or it says ein osa. Okay. Makin oso adja takes a notch. The point is that with regard to sukkah, we have two makoros, one addition, one gemara, which speaks about binyan. Moreover, the whole institution, which we're not going to discuss because we only have 2.5 minutes left, of tasa v'lomina asui, the requirement, possibly, according to Beis Shammai, of lishma in building a sukkah, even Beis Hillel don't have that requirement. According to the Yerushalmi, there's some element of small chiddush lishma that you need in a sukkah. Meaning there's plenty of evidence that the building of the sukkah, the order of the building of the sukkah, is a halachically consequential category. In addition to the Shiltos and the Mishnah saying that there seems to be some sort of a mitzvah, a seal. Moreover, you say certainly, at minimum, a shechianu, according to Rishonim, maybe more, part of the larger. You certainly say Shechianu in the building of the sukkah. Also, I might say, put together the Dalamina. There's a discussion in the Rishonim, we're not going to go into the details, whether or not the Balei Tosfos consider the possibility that the Shechianu that you will say when you build the sukkah could fulfill, why doesn't it fulfill, or could fulfill, the Kedushas Hayom Shechianu that you require for the Chag. The Ritva denies this, but it's a view in Balei Tosfos on Mem Vav Amud Aleph. We have it here on the first page of the Marakot. In general, the question of the relationship between the Zman on Leisha Basukkah and the Sukkah and on the Chag is an interesting question. All I'm trying to suggest is that there seems to be evidence according to which Shechianu in the building of the sukkah defies the typical din of Shechianu in other mitzvahs. And the question again is why? But if what we're saying is correct, which is that the focus on sukkahs is not yeshiva b'sukkah per se, it's not that there's a chefzah shel sukkah, that's the technical chefzah shel mitzvah in which you do the ma'isa mitzvah b'sukkah steishu b'shevas. But really, it's the opposite. It's all about creating this alternative headquarters for this tkufa. If that's the case, then the building of the sukkah, although again, if you don't sit there, and of course it's an advanced l'shiva sitting, but it has some halachic consequence. And it's possible that the Shechianu that you make through Binyan Sukkah transcends that of other preparatory putting together or constructing of Chepetz Shel Mitzvah and other dinim. Again, you have to prepare carefully to lulav. And the reason that may be is because it all highlights this change in headquarters. At the end of the day, what is this really all about? Possibly the transition from Yom Kippur to Sukkot. Yom Kippur, in the aftermath of Yom Kippur, Chazal say all sorts of different things, some positive and some negative, about the relationship between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. There's a lot of evidence, I'm not going to even start with it, that could demonstrate, beginning with Torah Shiva Sab, that Yom Kippur and Sukkot are presented, Parshas Emor, in parallel opposite fashion. Like Kippa Sukkos, Kippa Ki Yom Kippurim is kind of the parallel to Leman Yehuda Doroseichem. They both start, the second rendition of Sukkot starts with Ach, the whole Parsha of Yom Kippur starts with Ach. These aren't technical points. The point is that Yom Kippur is the apex of Yira, and Sukkot, as we know, is the apex of Zimra. And in a way, they're opposites, but they're two sides, really, of the same coin. I was trying to point out that it's fascinating that in the Shulchan Aruch, the last halacha in Hilchos Yom Kippur is basically to build the sukkah. First halacha in Hilchos Sukkah is to build the sukkah. So the Nosa Kalim suggests that there are differences, because otherwise why do you need two halachas, one right next to the other? They said that, you know, there are some technical differences between the details of this. But I think the point is that there's the transition from Yom Kippur to Sukkot is a kiyum in Yom Kippur, and it's a kiyum in Sukkot. And particularly, the idea is that in the aftermath of Yom Kippur, and every Oved Hashem's kind of experience of Kul Hashem, right, the capacity to turn your back on, you know, the shigra of your life, you know, and even like the physicality of it continues into Sukkot, where the reliance, you know, on an unsturdy, you know, sensitive to the elements, alternative domicile, right, really highlights, you know, the bitachon and the tikva and the kind of newly found spiritual focus of the post Yom Kippur Jew. And therefore, it's not the yeshiva. The yeshiva is an expression of the change of headquarters, of Asei Sukkoscha Keba Ubeischa Aroi. And for that reason, leaving the house is also key, not just building the sukkah, but really both. So I just want to wish you all continued atzlacha in the limud, and really it's a terrific group I see. And Shalom Tzliach, and she gone from there. They call it.